session of the evening, and if you didn't think it could get better than that, it does. We're going to have the granny sing for us. But let me tell you about one specific example of where the grannies had power. They had power to change, and they didn't even have to show up and sing. Imagine when they actually show up and sing. This is amazing. So I think it was maybe about a year ago. I left my notes at home, so I don't have the exact date. But there was kind of an explosion of public performance at the farmer's market downtown Madison. Now, if you've been to the farmer's market, it's huge. It goes all the way around the Capitol building. There's tons of vendors. There's so much life, so much stuff that's going on. But you would walk, 8 feet, and there would be some guy with a guitar and his hat out. And you'd walk another 8 feet, and there's a couple of kids from the orchestra, from the high school down the street, who are performing something. And then you'd walk another 8 feet, and you'd have, junior high school actors who are, fervently acting out something. You go another 8 feet, and there'd be a trumpet player. I mean, it was crazy. But it was life. That's what the farmer's market and that public square really is. But of course, our governmental officials, in their active duty protecting us citizens, they said there ought to be a law. And so it was suggested in a city council committee that if anybody wanted to perform on the Capitol Square, that they needed a license. What a good crowd! We get to. I just don't ever want to be the subject of that. Rightly so. I mean, could you imagine these high school kids going down to City Hall and, can I have a license so that I can play my violin? So quickly, the news spread throughout the creative activist community. And Monday morning, I get a call in my office. Someone dials up the ACLU. Somebody's got us on speed dial and says, can you believe what they were talking about in this committee hearing? So I'm not saying that my email really did anything, because Lord knows these public officials don't ever email me back when I try to get a hold of them. But I really took some time and nicely composed an email to the head of the committee. And I said, Alderman Mike Bevere, why would you think that it would work to license performance on the public square? Could you imagine the raging grannies having to get a license to perform? Now, like I said, I didn't get an email back from this guy. He didn't, pick up the phone and call me back. But I would like to think that the very idea of government cracking down on a dozen ladies who are dressed up with flowers on their hats and crazy buttons and singing the songs that we know by heart, maybe the melody, we haven't necessarily heard all these words. But it was just unfathomable that we would be regulating this kind of public space. So fortunately, that suggestion of licensing the public space there didn't go anywhere. So we haven't seen it come back. So I think it's great to have a little part of it. So this is what grannies do. They show up and they claim their space. Now, as a women's studies graduate student from back in the day, I can tell you I spent a lot of money going to school and studying how women take up space in our society. And women are really taught to kind of be quiet, to hang back, to not take up a lot of space. We cross our legs. We don't claim that kind of pub space. We don't really spread out. The grannies show up and they take their space. The other thing that they do is they really work with the gender stereotypes. We have a certain way that we think that little old ladies are supposed to behave and are supposed to dress. And they take all that and they turn it upside down and they say, we are the grannies and we are here. And you are going to notice us and you're going to hear what we have to say. And finally, the thing that I really like about grannies is that, the gaggle could be really taking care of all of us. When we think about the comfort of home, we think about warm apple pie and we think about, the matzo ball soup and people taking care of us, right? They really could relegate themselves to making coffee and taking notes at the peacemaker meetings. But they don't. They've done their own thing. They lead themselves. They make their own collective decisions. They're not satisfied to just take care of the little boys. So grannies, I'm so glad that you can step in where others fear to tread. So now I'd like to welcome our grannies here tonight to come up. I know I've talked too long already, but I'd really like to turn the mic over to just a handful of them so that they can explain in their own words what this award means to them and, you know, what it means to them to be a Grammy. So why don't you ladies come on up?
While the Grammys are assembling, I want to tell a quick little story. We were singing in front of that bread stand across from Gitto the Park, you know, where you get a free loaf of bread at the end of the day. They called the cops on us. The policeman was really embarrassed, and he said, this is the way you do it. You get over there on the grass, and you move after every 4 or 5 songs, and therefore nobody can claim that you're interfering with commerce. So we do.
Okay.
I'll take the microphone next.
All right. So you guys know
okay,
your order is.
Yeah.
We got it.
All right. So let me know.
I'm Bonnie, and I'm really proud to be a member of both of the Wisconsin Network for Peace and Justice and the Raging Grannies. And one of the neat things is you get to meet the most wonderful women. And we've already referred to Nan Cheney, who helped found the network. There's somebody else who's here, Mary Sanderson. Where are you? She started the Raging Grannies as a project of Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And there's one other woman who I noticed came in. We recognized Jo Elder as a previous Lifetime Peacemaker Award, but Sister Esther Heffernan is also here, so we're glad to have you here. The network's mission statement says we work for a sustainable world free from violence and injustice. And I think the grannies would agree that that's kind of our mission statement too. So when we rage against greed and war and the despoiling of the planet, I think we're working on the same issues. And I think it's important that we encourage each other and that we keep on keeping up.
Well, it's such a tremendous honor for us to be awarded this award, the Network NPJ Lifetime Achievement Award, and it just means that we're really going to have to go out and keep on working harder than ever. It all started about 30 years ago when some ladies in the Northwest Pacific, in Canada, got all dressed up, paddled our canoes out to sing and demonstrate against the Trident submarines that were there. And ever since then, we've been carrying on that and feel like this is our challenge to go ahead and do that. So now you wanted to know why we enjoy and like being in the Grannies. We're here to tell you.
I'm going to read it because it took me time to say it the way I want to. I greatly enjoy singing your song because it helps me to be more positive. There seems to be so much that's wrong in our society and unjust. It makes me feel a little better knowing that together we may raise some consciousness in our audiences and stir people to help to make change.
As performance junkies, we love how our hats and our music and our errors we always seem to be perfectly on key, don't we? We seem to delight and motivate people. We have fun with the disconnect between how we look and what we say. The surprise that makes the passerby at the farmer's market stop and listen for more. They hear that had a hysterectomy, needs a colon out, and then what? And then they stick around for more, and they learn something about single payer. It's deliciously satisfying to hook people in this way. Once we've got their attention, we try to inform people responsibly through our lyrics. What lively debates we have among ourselves, it's surprising the variety of opinions and experiences living in this homogeneous looking group.
Some of us insist it's just for fun and stirring up dust devils.
or maybe like wolves howling at the moon and thinking she might hear sometime.
Falderall notwithstanding, raging grannies have important work to do. We've learned to leverage the privilege of our age in support of a better world for the grandkids. Those in power have difficulty addressing some of the concepts we work on: corporate bribery, healthcare for profit, and the so-called necessary wars. But raging grannies can belt it out, the melodic truth with spice on the street corners. We are not always on key, but we are always on message.
I pick up a familiar old tune, and suddenly these sweet old ladies belt out songs about war and peace, corruption and pollution, single payer health care and the like, quite unladylike. And this unexpected fusion of opposites is precisely what makes people sit up and take notice, pay attention, and even get shocked sometimes. But that's all right. If we can motivate just a few people to look at their world more critical, perhaps even start working for peace, then I think we got it right.
Yeah. How we wish Nan Cheney and Gloria Berman.
Yay.
And justice activists could be with us in person today. We miss them every time we sing. Nan brought many friends to sing with us and shepherded us through 5 years of rapid growth. She will always be our sister, and David Cheney, our brother. We appreciate his continued support, and we love it when he's here.
My awareness of our great good fortune to be able to speak out for peace and justice, to laugh and sing together as long as we last. And we are helping each other each and every day embrace the chaos that is our world with laughter and with gratitude.